few comments and thoughts before we get away today. And I'd like to share just a passage or two of Scripture with you. One of which is very, very familiar, and it comes from Exodus, the 20th chapter. And it's under the heading, The Ten Commandments, and it's verse 12, Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And then in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Woof! Boy, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? Do not provoke your children to anger. Depends on how old the children are. They can be provoked to anger very, very quickly as they approach the teenage years and beyond. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your holy word and for its instruction in our lives. May its word touch our lives as we gather in your name this day, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, when we talk about the Christian home, mom and dad are doing such essential and important jobs. There is no doubt about it. And the Christian home is responsible for Christian children being in the church today. The Christian home is the basis for our future in Christianity, and in many ways for the future of our land. Parents who take the awesome responsibility to make sure that children know about Jesus Christ. And not only know about Jesus as the person, but know what it means to follow the Word of God in our lives and to be guided and directed into the future with those kinds of standards and morals and morality that give meaning to who we are as a body of Christ and as a great nation as well. So it is time for us to say thank you to mom and thank you to dad. But let's be honest. Very often, guys, mom has been the one there to do a lot of the teaching and a lot of the directing and a lot of the enabling and a lot of the guiding when it comes to the Christian faith. If you look at it statistically, and men who are here today, you are some of the exception, and we celebrate your presence here because of that. But if you look at it statistically, the measure of men's involvement in the life of the body of Christ is very small. And if it was not for mothers and grandmothers and women in the family, very often children would not be in Sunday school or church. That's real life stuff. That's the United States today. Look around your neighborhood when you get ready to come to church on Sunday morning and see how many people are doing what you're doing. Now, in my neighborhood, there's not many at all. So we make an awful lot of noise early in the morning. And so if Carolyn isn't quite ready, I put my hand on that horn. And you know what? I found out that people love me for that. At least the dogs do. They bark. Yep, it's not always been the case that dad has been there, but I'm happy to say that the times, they are a-changing. Changing. Yeah. Have you changed diapers lately? Yeah, as dads, that's an awesome responsibility. The first time you ever did that, woof, the times, they are a-changing. What an experience. But the times are changing, too, in terms of dads taking on responsibility in the home as never before and having fun doing it. In fact, if you take a look at Father's Day and the history of Father's Day, it begins with a daughter who wants to celebrate what? Her father, a Civil War veteran who raised 6 children by himself because mother died giving birth to the 6th child. And dads are doing that today. Dads and stepdads and grandfathers and grandmothers are raising children today. So dads are learning. They're learning well. One author writes in very, very, very beautiful words. He says this, "My dad loved me. And I've known that from the earliest moments of my awareness. I'm told that when I was a small child, perhaps 3 years of age, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment." Did any of you remember those days? I do. "My little bed was located beside the bed of my parents. And Dad said it was not uncommon during that time for him to awaken in the night and hear a little voice whispering, as we all have, 'Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy.'" You have to get his attention sometime. "And Daddy would answer, 'What, Jimmy?' Then I would reply, 'Hold my hand.' And my dad would reach across the darkness and grope for my little hand, finally engulfing it in his. And he said the instant he encompassed my hand, my arm would become limp and breathing deep and regular. I had gone back to sleep." You see, I only wanted to know that he was there. James Dobson, Focus on the Family. This is sure different than the thoughts shared with us by minister and author Josh McDowell. I don't know if you've seen his book. It's called The Father Connection. If you don't have it, you get it. Dad should have it. Granddad should have it. Men who are raising children should have it. Men who care about children should have it. It's a great book to look at. Josh McDowell says this, "Boy, this is so different than the thoughts, my thoughts about fatherhood." He said, "As a child, I never knew my father's love. I never benefited from a father's example. I can't remember a single time when my father took me somewhere alone and spent time with me. I can't remember feeling proud of my father or imitating him." By the way, they do that. Children imitate us, whether you like it or not. "In fact, I hated him. I grew up in a 150-acre dairy farm just outside a small town in Michigan. And of course, everyone knew about my father and his drinking. My teenage buddies made jokes about him, and I laughed too, hoping my laughter would hide my pain." His story goes on about his dad and about his home life, and then he goes on to say this. He said, "Though God generously brought about a reconciliation with my father after I became a Christian, and even allowed me to help him trust Christ for salvation 14 months before he died, I became a father with an acute sense of how unprepared I was to be a father." You get that? How unprepared I was to be a father. "I was a father for the first time when I was 22 years of age, all-knowing, all-omniscient, all-competent, all-knowledgeable about raising children." What? "The one thing I knew, though, when Kathy came into the world, Kathleen Marie Leeds, one thing I knew for sure, I wanted a dozen just like her. Carolyn had second opinions." "I didn't have a textbook." You didn't either. "I didn't know how to be the kind of dad I was supposed to be. I just had to do it by trial and error. When I was a young kid in the Air Force, I learned by on-the-job training. And that's how I did it, being a father. And the first child is always raised differently than the third child. At least so in our family. The first child, you followed the strict book. Dr. Spock, to be exact. The third child, it's, hey, do what you want to. Yeah, just come home sometime." And that's when he was only 6. I mean, almost anything goes by the time you hit the third one. Gosh, learn by trial and error. The challenges of fatherhood have always been demanding and more pronounced today than ever before, because we face the daunting task of raising children in a culture of crisis. And if you don't think so, I'd like to give you just a few statistics. Not that they need to alarm you, but they need to make us aware that in this day and time, fathering is the most critically needed job in the world in which we live in today. You hear what I said? Fathering is the most critically needed job in our society today, bar none. And I love mothers, and mothers have an awesome responsibility, but dads have an even greater one because they haven't always done it. And why do we need it? The statistics of our horror story. 1,000 unwed teenage girls become mothers. 1,106 teenage girls get abortions every day. 4,219 teenagers contract a sexually transmitted disease every day. 500 adolescents begin using drugs every day. 1,000 adolescents begin drinking alcohol. 135,000 kids every day bring a gun or another weapon to school. 3,610 teens are assaulted and 80 raped every day. 2,200 teens drop out of high school. And I recall not too long ago when the percentages of graduates was always higher than the percentage of those who dropped out. You can go to some of the largest cities in the nation today and you'll find that the dropout rate is larger than the graduation rate. 7 kids are murdered every day, 7 juveniles are arrested for murder, and 6 teens every day commit suicide. I say that I lift this up not to be alarming, but lift this up to understand dads have an awfully significant job. To have that handout just like when our kids were younger, that they had something to hold on to, that they also have something to hold on to today. And one of the dads reminded me after the first service this morning, he said, "Bob, make sure you say stepdads too, because it was my stepdad who raised me, and I didn't know until I was 19 that he was my stepfather." Dads and stepdads and grandpas and uncles, big brothers, and other men in the lives of our children have an awesome responsibility. In a wonderful book written by Josh McDowell, This Family Connection, I just want to lift up a few thoughts and then I'll conclude. From a letter written to Josh by his first daughter, Kelly, if you get the book, you'll see that each one of his children wrote him a letter at the beginning of this book. This is the first letter by the oldest child. And I'm just lifting up a few things. Thoughts to guide dads and really all of us who are guardians of the most precious commodity God has blessed us with, and that's our children. The first one is, you always made me feel important in my life. Gosh, how important that is for our children to feel important. She said many times this feeling of importance meant time spent together. And I realize we have jobs that take us away from home. We have responsibilities at work. We have things to keep us occupied, but boy, those precious times we have together. There is nothing wrong with going to the Rock House and spending 30 or 40 minutes and buying ice cream with the kids. There's nothing wrong with that. You have to make the time to do it, but it's well worthwhile. And take it from me, the ice cream's pretty great. Or riding horses, or playing ball, even catch in the backyard. Or helping with homework. I don't know if you've done that with your kids. I don't know if you're doing that now. If it wasn't for my father, I would have never passed algebra. No, I'm honest with you. I couldn't get it for some reason or another. Once it was beyond basic arithmetic, I couldn't get it. And so night after night, sometimes weeks on end, and especially before tests, as we did algebra, which was the hardest, one or two. I can't remember. But my dad would sit there and try to drum it into me. And every now and then he'd slobber and spit and carry on. Because I wasn't getting it! But he never gave up. And I finally got through algebra. And as I mentioned this morning, wouldn't you know it, when I enlisted in the Air Force as a young guy, they put me in accounting and finance. I didn't last very long in accounting and finance. That's why I became a chaplain. You consistently treated mom with respect. I don't know what's happening in homes today. I don't know why men are beating up women and women are beating up men. God only knows. I don't understand it. We somehow or another, all of us at one point in time, stood up either before God and country or before a judge, and we said, I do, and it's forever. Forever is a heck of a long time. You know that, don't you, Campbell? It's a long time. We have people in this congregation who have been married 60 years and longer. Some coming up with an anniversary in not too distant future at 60 years. It's a long time. Most important thing that we as men can do for our children is to love and respect their mothers. Wow, that's heavy stuff. It's right there in Scripture, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives as just as Christ loved the church. That's our primary responsibility. The very best thing that we can do for our children is to love their mothers. Besides that, it's a lot of fun. Do this and your children will honor you forever and ever and ever. She also says, you demonstrated to me that my values come from being created in the image of God. You provided me the right tools to make right choices, and you have modeled what it's like to admit mistakes and seek forgiveness. In our society today, more often than not, it's mothers who bring children to church. It's not dads. But in every instance, if you look at the statistics, the families that are the strongest in Christ are those where dad takes the leadership and brings them to church. Not takes them and drops them off, brings the rest of the family to church. I can't help the statistics, but they're there. All you have to do is read them. I love the thoughts. The tools to make the right choices. You have modeled what it's like to live life. The model that we are for our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and our nephews. Then she said, the unconditional love you gave me has allowed me to feel secure and to be able to love others. I wonder sometimes if the reason that it's so difficult for children to love others is that because they aren't loved themselves, and they know it. Unconditional love to our kids. That means when they do the most dastardly deed, we still love them. Even when they wreck your new car, you still love them. Even when they do the most ridiculous things in the world, you still love them. Unconditionally. There's no separation when it comes to our kids. Then she concludes by saying, long talks, and lots of laughter. Boy, a home that's filled with laughter is filled with a future. You should have seen our house. It was a scream. You taught me to love God, care for others, and embrace life while living life to its fullest. Aren't those the things we want from our children? And if we want them from our children, we have to give them to them. It is not up, I hate to tell you this, it is not up to the school system to raise our children. It's up to us to raise our children and to provide them the faith they need to live in this world in which we live in today. Well, he concludes by saying, at times fatherhood may be the most frightening job in the world, but it is also the most important and the most rewarding job any man can tackle. God bless you on the journey. Amen. Amen.